child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our King. Shepherds guard and angels sing, haste, haste to bring him on, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such need? Where ox and donkeys are feeding, good Christians fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. Nails, spears shall be cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense gold, peasant king, to own him, the King of kings salvation brings, when loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise a song, joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. Sing glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead seen, hailed in
Christmas songs have some real hard meanings to them. And it's just great. I just want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas. I know we're just getting started here this evening, and you could be seated if you'd like. We're kind of have a real shortened service tonight, and we've had a busy day here today. We've had a number of services already. Our Spanish Voces had their service, and then African International, I believe, and down in Stoughton, we had a service down there this morning. So just want to welcome all of you here. If you're a guest of ours, it's just great to have you out here on this Christmas Eve night. And what an awesome time to be living in. And I just want to talk. I mean, sometimes when you have Christmas season and you know, you have so many different messages, and you hear a lot of different things thrown out there, and you know, when you look at Christmas, there's just, everybody looks at Christmas in a different manner. And, you know, for the kids, you know, we all know Santa Claus. Plug your ears, kids. You don't want, maybe your parents don't want you to hear this yet, but, you know, reindeer really don't know how to fly. And isn't that terrible? Santa Claus. You know, we have three chimneys in our house, and two of them have fires going quite often. And I'm not for sure how he's going to come down tonight. He might as well plan on a very hot landing. But, you know, around Christmas time, we tell our children to imagine things. How many of you ever do that? You tell your children, oh, you have to imagine things. How many of you have an imagination here tonight? Huh? Anybody imagining, you know, imagine that you're going to get something tomorrow underneath the tree that you really want? How many of you have already opened your presents? A few of you have. We already had ours today with our family. And I just want to talk for just a short time tonight on Simply Imagine. Simply Imagine. And then I want to put it in parentheses. What would you have done? What would you have done? And, you know, we enter into this Christmas season. I mean, Christmas season now starts in, like, July. You know, you go to Menards and you can't buy a garden hose at the end of August because the garden center is now all Christmas trees. So as we enter into this Christmas season back in July, a lot of things come to my mind, and as a pastor, I get a lot of emails every week, and this last few weeks I've got sometimes three or four a day about, what are you preaching for Christmas? What are you preaching for Christmas? And they have all these Christmas messages that they want you to buy a Christmas message from them. And they talk about the significance surrounding the season. And you know, you have some people that get into the real technical end of Christmas, to where that, okay, let's have a Christmas message, and we're going to talk about the wise men. Where did the wise men come from? You know, the wise men of the East. And people try to speculate, and they'll have a whole message built around the wise men. And then it's, was it a comet? The one song, his tail as big as a kite, do you hear what I hear? I don't know the name of the, somebody probably can think of the song right away. I can't think of it right now. I've got too many Christmas songs in my head already. But, you know, tail as big as a kite. It's like, so it had to be a comet. It couldn't be a star because they wrote a song about it, and it sounds like it's a comet. And so they talk about this. And I recently read this whole purpose on what the swaddling clothes meant. And they had this whole huge, you could probably spend two or three weeks studying on the swaddling clothes. And was it really a stable? Was it a cave? Was it an outcropping of rocks? And that underneath that little area was where Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus was born. And all of these different thoughts in so many different directions. And tonight I just want to tell a story. When you really think about this Christmas story, it is like wild, outlandish, and crazy. Think about it. Think about the whole Christmas story. We're going to read just from Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. The Romans loved taxing people, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. So if this would be applying to us today, I would have to go back to Henderson, Texas, because that's where I was born. And you'd have to go back to whatever city you were born in, and that's where you'd have to go and pay your taxes. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, it's too late, we're already afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, earth, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now even go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all that they heard, all that had heard it, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when we look at this story, our main character in this story tonight is really a young lady named Mary. She's kind of the focus of the story. But you got to understand something about Mary, so tonight we're going to have to imagine a little bit. Okay, try to imagine how Mary must have felt. She was living a normal life as a normal Jewish young lady, and when boom, literally out of nowhere, all of a sudden, an angel interrupts her life and tells her, "Get this, Mary, you're pregnant. And you're pregnant with the Holy Ghost." Now, does that sound really crazy to you? I mean, just think about this. Imagine this. If all of a sudden Mary is your daughter, and she comes in and says, "Guess what, Dad? Gabriel just showed up in my bedroom and told me I was pregnant with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to have a baby, and his name's going to be Jesus." And you go and you tell him all of this, and your dad is thinking, "Now, wait a minute here. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Think about that. Joseph. It's Joseph, isn't it? Because you just don't get pregnant. We know how we get pregnant, right? Are you kidding me? This is a story. This is a story you're going to use? So I'm sure that maybe Mary's parents called Joseph in and said, "Listen, we got a problem here. What in the world have you done to our daughter?" And poor Joseph, he's thinking, "Wow, how do I explain this? Because an angel came to me and told me not to worry about this. I mean, this is just all so, like, out there. And, you know, you think about Joseph. Imagine how he felt. He's got this beautiful young lady who's won his heart. And he knows in his heart that he never had any kind of a relationship with this woman that would bring forth a pregnancy. And she's probably thinking, boy, did she cheat on me? Now, does he have to buy her a ring? Does he have to sit down with her dad and talk to her dad? And boy, now I don't know if he's going to even trust me. I'm a carpenter. I'm not a banker. I don't have a name. And Mary's pregnant. And you think of all of this. You think of all of this. This is just like totally, totally crazy. But, you know, Joseph, he thought, you know, maybe we should put her away, hide her, because people are going to start talking. And imagine how they felt, because, you know, after a while, Mary starts to show. I mean, you just can't hide this. I don't know very many ladies that when they're 8-9 months pregnant, it's really a hard thing to hide, you know. You can't cover it up, sister. We already know. And you think about this. But you see, the angel appeared, and with one conversation with that angel, it just seemed to change everything. All of the mixed emotions and such, so I can see that they wanted to get Mary away from home so the neighbors wouldn't speak about this. And you know, Gabriel's the one that got to make the announcement. That's a pretty heavy angel for making an announcement like this. I mean, it's like Michael and Gabriel are the two archangels. There was actually three. Lucifer was the third one. He fell. So you have Michael and you have Gabriel. And here Gabriel, it's the greatest announcement. I can just see in heaven God saying, listen, Gabriel, I got a special task that you have to do. I'm going to send you to earth and you're going to make an announcement. And Gabriel is thinking that, listen, the last time I got to do something like this was back in the Garden of Eden, and it just was a fiasco. So we're going to get this and we're going to get it right. And he sends him down to talk to Mary. Are you kidding me, God? You're sending me? So you think about all of this. You know, what would you do? I mean, how would you respond if Gabriel showed up in your bedroom and told you what he told Mary? And then we have this angelic choir. You know, we have all these shepherds that are out there. You know, we just sang some beautiful songs. We sang about the angels and such, it's just crazy to have an angelic choir out there. I mean, it'd be like Mannheim Steamroller on steroids, probably. These poor shepherds out there. You know, Mary and Joseph, they make their way. They're on their way to Bethlehem. There's no room in the inn, so they find a stable, and here they are in this stable and settling in for the night. Now we've got these shepherds out there on the countryside. I believe that heaven does have a heavenly host of choir. I mean, music is a big part of heaven. I'm sure like any choir, we came in here tonight. Brother Derek was rehearsing, getting ready to sing. This angelic host, I can see God telling them that, listen, there's an event coming up, and I want you to practice for it. So they've been practicing for eons of time, and they've traveled like zillions and zillions of miles. And here the curtain opens up on the stage. That's their moment to perform. And here it is, pitch black, and there's a bunch of shepherds out there with a bunch of stinky old sheep. You imagine what those angels felt? Are you kidding me? This is what we've got to perform to? They probably thought, why us? We're like heaven's best choir. You know, we're going to make this announcement to these few lowly shepherds. They've got no theological degrees. We should be in the Temple Mount singing. We should be in the temple. Just a bunch of smelly old low-level scruffy misfits of society. And here they break out into an angelic chorus, hailing an incredible event. We really don't know what they were witnessing. They probably thought as the shepherds, can you imagine that, being shepherds? Sitting out there and it's a dark night. I mean, it's a dark night. You're fumbling around in the dark, trying to settle in, and then all of a sudden it's just like, boom, right over your head. This huge chorus. I don't know about you, but I think I would probably run and not stop running. You just think about this. And now they make this announcement. Now we're back in Jerusalem here, as the story goes. So the shepherds, the angels have announced his grand entrance. And then we have these three wise men. Ever wonder where they came from? Anybody, you guys are really quiet. Is everybody like stuffed on Christmas cookies tonight? Sugar sleep, is that what it is? Comatose or whatever they call that? I had two sugar cookies today. That was it. But now, if I get home, it's going to be a little different story because we brought a bunch home with us. But imagine back in Jerusalem how the citizens of Jerusalem felt. You know, these three kings from the east, if you know anything about men of royalty when they travel, they just didn't travel light. They probably had a massive caravan that came along with them. And here they stroll into Jerusalem, and people wonder, who are these men? Where did they come from? We're looking and we're searching for he that is born King of the Jews. They go to Herod's temple, Herod's palace. They have an audience with him, and Herod is a murderous. He's got a horrible reputation, a murderous king. Imagine how all the religious leaders in Jerusalem must have felt when Herod called them and asked them about the birth of this one called King of the Jews. How did they all respond? They quoted a scripture out of Micah chapter 2. This one whose goings forth have been from the days of eternity must have been born in Bethlehem. So here these scholars, these scribes, they told Herod and the three kings, the three magi from the east, they told him that he's to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. They told him where he was going to be born at. Herod didn't seem to mind the answer. He didn't seem to squabble with it. It seemed to be as satisfying to him. But think about this for a minute. Anybody know how far it is from Jerusalem to Bethlehem? Anybody know? How many of you came from Marshall direction, from County TT down here? You know the roundabouts down at TT and N? It's 5 miles from there to here. That's how far it was from Jerusalem, Herod's palace, to Bethlehem. 5 miles. You would have thought that some of them would actually have taken the time to go that 5 miles to see for themselves. After all, this was to be their Messiah. 5 miles. Now, I've ridden that distance. We used to live just a little bit up from that intersection, and I've made it from there, from my house to here at church on horseback, in a little less than an hour. I've walked it a few times. It takes me about an hour and a half, 2 hours to walk. 5 simple miles. And nobody even bothered to go and see for themselves. Now I wonder tonight, I mean, we hear this story over and over again, and sometimes I think it just gets so commonplace to us. I wonder if we would have been alive back then. This is where our imagination has to come in sometimes. If we'd have been alive back then, would we have made that 5-mile trip? If we'd have been alive back then in the crowd when Jesus was ministering, he was traveling all over the dusty hillsides of Galilee. Would we have ever taken time out of our busy schedules to go listen to him speak? Would we have responded when he preached to the crowds along the seashore? Would we have been one of the 5,000 men? Would our families have been in that with the women and children? Would we have been fed off of the miracle of the loaves and the fish? Would we have been able to see the blind to see, the deaf ears to be opened? Would we have been there that day, as the one Christmas song stated, as he was nailed to a cross? Which side would we have been on that day? What would we have done when the word went out that the tomb that he was buried in was empty and that he had risen from the dead? Where would we have been? Have we ever wondered? Have you ever wondered, what would you have done? I know in my life I've imagined living in a lot of different ages. I always thought it would be cool to go on a wagon train out west, just to experience that. I always thought I was born in the wrong century. Brother Brian, I don't know about you, but you like it here? this is, wouldn't it be cool to like live in a medieval castle? Anybody ever imagine that? Like Robin Hood, you know? Am I the only one that imagines stuff here? How many of you have ever imagined stuff like that? We've all done that. How many of you have ever imagined that you were like Superman? Yeah. Batman? He's Batman. Brian would be Batman. He's got all the gadgets. He's got a gadget for everything. Have you ever wondered, what would I have done? Would I have come to listen to him? Would I have worshipped him? Would I have followed him? Would I have listened to his every word and given my heart to him? Or would I have opposed him, as some of those did? They banded together with others who opposed him, and they worked up schemes to trap him, to arrest him, to still his voice, and to stop his work, lest he stir up the Roman Empire and cause more trouble. Or would you have just gone on your way because you were just too busy? Just too busy to be bothered by another religious nut preaching on the countryside. Because there were a lot of religious zealots in that day. I think we all know the answer to that, if we're honest with ourselves, because we probably would do exactly then what we're doing exactly right now. So really, if you're worshiping and loving, obeying God right now, you probably would have done it then. If you were faithful, then you would probably be faithful now. And your faithfulness, no doubt, would have provoked the gratitude of the millions of Christians who have walked on this earth since that time. But you see, one must also address the other side of the equation. That if you're resisting and you're fighting God now, this is not what you expected for Christmas message. Did he not come to save humanity? Isn't that why he came? That's why he came, folks. He didn't stay in that little manger. He didn't stay there. So if you were resisting and fighting him now, it's safe to say that you probably would have joined with the crowd that said, crucify him. Crucify him. And you thought you were doing the right thing. You see, folks, we're dealing with humanity. And humanity is really no different. I was thinking of this over the last week and how that so many things have changed in our world. I look at things today. When I was growing up as a kid, man, we would stay outside till midnight if our folks let us. You know, we'd play outdoors, ride our bikes. We lived right down the road here, about 3 miles down Fellon Road, and would ride our bikes all the way to Monona Bay and go swimming off the railroad trestles. And my folks didn't have a clue where we were. I think of that. Railroad tracks, jumping in the water. Man, we could have drowned and nobody would even know where we were at. But that's just how it was. Nowadays, man, it's different. Totally different. But you know one thing that hasn't changed in thousands of years, and that is humanity. Humanity is still struggling with sin. Humanity still has issues. And no matter the age, no matter the era, no matter the technology, we're still a fallen, sinful nature. So if we could stand tonight, you may say to yourself, well, Pastor, you know, I was really hoping to come here tonight and just have this really Merry Christmas Eve service where I was just singing Jingle Bells, White Christmas, all these great Christmas songs. Then we're going to want to go home and we want to eat supper with the family and open gifts and play games until midnight. See, the truth is if you're too busy, you're just too busy. And if you're missing Jesus now, you would have missed him then. And you would have missed the blessing of all ages. So I want to leave a very thought-provoking question with you here in closing. And if our musicians can come. And it's a question that really it demands a response. Most questions do, you know. That's why it's a question. What are you doing with Jesus? Is he still just a little baby in a manger to you, or is he your Lord and Savior? He came, he preached salvation. He told us that he alone was the way. He alone was the truth, and he alone is the life. But you can't get to heaven without him. He taught his disciples. What is he to you? Is he just some baby? King of the Jews 5 miles away? And you don't have time to really meet him today? Or is he the God of the ages? Who came to this earth in the form of a man to take away the sins of all humanity? What is he to you tonight? And I don't think it would be right to end a service, especially a Christmas Eve service, without giving you an opportunity to say, you know, I don't really know him like I think I know him. I don't have a relationship with him like I should. I just want to invite you down here to the front to just pray. Say, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to know you better. Maybe you do know him. Maybe you've repented of your sins, and maybe you've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you've been baptized in the name of Jesus. That maybe your relationship's just not where it needs to be. What better night than to set it straight and to say, you know what? I want my relationship with my Savior to be my number one priority in this season. So as Brother Derek sings, I just want to invite you, give you that opportunity to come and pray. Husbands and wives and families can come and pray together.
Flesh appear.
him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
I just want to take this time to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. We will be having service on Wednesday evening. Midweek service this week will be our regular Wednesday evening service. And then Sunday morning and Sunday evening, we will have our normal scheduled weekend. It's just next weekend, next Sunday night after service, we're going to be having a time of fellowship to ring in the new year. You can feel free to just kind of dress down a little more casual next Sunday evening. And because we'll be here, some of us will be here a while, and we're going to have pizza and soda and all that kind of good stuff. They've sent the notices out in the fellowship hall. We're going to spend a time of fellowship playing games, card games, board games, no electronics. No electronics. All right? And we just want to spend time communicating and fellowshipping with one another. If you bring a family, bring some friends. It'll be a good, enjoyable evening. So God bless you all, and we'll see you here next week.